很高兴认识你，我是雨禾，新一期能量棒电台送到，感谢你跟我一起补充能量。在每一期用心独到的播客里呢，我们会用几十分钟的聊天陪你一起听故事，给你的感情、工作、金钱、健康一起充电。你可以在任何音频播客 APP 搜索能量棒就能找到收听，请订阅哦。我一直免费创作了这么久呢，现在很需要你的支持，请加我的微信 yuhexyz 加入公号读者和播客听友群，也欢迎你开心放松地找我聊天咨询。请你在你用的播客 APP 里给这一期点个赞，也给能量棒电台五星好评。我一直很喜欢做客户讲座，那这期播客呢，是我在香港理工大学 FinTech 金融科技大四学生课堂的即兴演讲分享。那主要内容呢，我就是拿我之前工作上看过的 PPT 和一些数字化转型的项目案例，所以主要 topic 就是在香港外资银行主流的已经实施的数字化转型项目。那前两个部分呢，我主要讲了 RPA， 就是 Robotic Process Automation， 机器人流程自动化以及 OCR ICR 智能字符识别这两种数字化转型在银行业的应用实施。那第三部分呢，描述了一下数字化转型的项目管理大概是怎么做的。第四部分呢，我分享了一下在银行业如果要做数字化转型的难点与挑战。那同时呢，因为我当时的分享观众呢是大四的本科生，所以我穿插了分享了一些找工作的 tips 以及工作上的心态和方法。那由于 PPT 中呢涉及工作上的一些保密事项，不能在这里发出来，希望你也能从中有所收获。So without further ado, let me start with robotics. SoRPA, which is the short way that we call robotic automation process. And here is the slide that you will see in real banking job. So if you want to enter banking industry, traditional finance, or if you want to enter a job like a management consultant, you have to do the slides very neat and tidy in this way.To present your ideas in a very simple and concise way, and very, you know, to align the, all the text box, all the pictures in a very neat and alignment. So actually for an entry level job in banking industry as a day-to-day job, you have to do all these kind of slides. So what is robotics? What isRPA, it is an application of technology that replicates the actions of a human being interacting with the user interface of a computer system. To put it simply, like if you apply a job in a very large bank, like Citibank, HSBC, you apply on their online application portal. So actually it uses RPA to extract some data from your CV and also automatically fill in something for you. And you can just add it and also choose other options under the selection list. So usually, RPA is very useful in like data management.And also especially operations, like payments processing, like compliance. You know, compliance is a very heavy headache after 2008 financial tsunami. All the regulators worldwidely increased very higher standards in compliance. And also RPA is very applicable in IT, like for computer science, you know, students apply for IT job in finance industry, you will interact with, you know, we will interact with some projects related with robotics too. So how does IPA applicable to KYC and AML tasks? KYC stands for Know Your Customer.AML stands for anti-money laundering, which are two very large areas in compliance in finance industry. So KYC means you have to know your clients, not on a very simple way, but in a very specific way. For example, I need to know how my clients accumulate so much large amount of money, like over $1 billion US dollar. How do they accumulate so much money? Because bank won't play any money laundry job for those kind of clients. They want to know the client's money are clean. So KYC and AML are very heavy tasks in banking nowadays, not only in private bank, but also for corporate bank. Corporate bank actually serve corporate accounts, which means enterprise firms accounts, firms assets. So KYC and AML will be very heavy headache in finance, especially there are an increasing amount of regulation technology providers, RegTech, nowadays. So how do we assess process and operations in banking service lines to know that it's applicable to use RPA, to use robotics to replace human labor? There are a few criteria on the left hand, like they're digital, very structured, use digital data, and it uses one or more legacy systems. You know, banks have a number of systems even within one team. And it's highly human error likelihood, like you play four eyeball checks, which means you check manually, and it usually will have some fat finger mistakes, which means you will easily get some human error. And it's highly manual. The process is highly manual, and the process has high volume in day-to-day jobs, and it has low exceptional volume. And for the pictures in the middle, it's actually a very concise management consulting job. If you want to enter, you know, any role in McKinsey, BM, and BCG, you or Accenture or any other large management consulting firms, you will do this kind of analysis and slides on for your day-to-day job. You can see which kind of service lines or operations are highly likely to use robotics to replace human labor. And for RPA opportunities, it was heavily applicable, invested in client onboarding. Client onboarding means you need to onboard a client, to do the KYC, AML, to onboard the client, to help them to open accounts. Either as a corporate client account or individual personal account, like you go to the retail bank and you open your bank account. And review means client review. So the bank not only just help you open the account, but it will review your account on a regular basis. So how do they assess the frequency to review the client account? It's based on your own risks. Client review basis. And screenings it's kind of like background check. You know, if you want to enter a very large firm or a very large enterprise worldwide, they will do a background check on you. They will check all the things on your CV, like your education background, your internship experiences. They will do all of the background check screening. So on the same way, the bank will check on the clients, either an individual client or a corporate client. They will do all the background check to check the things the clients provided, whether it is accurate and also on a very specific time base. So do not do any cheating on your CV. It will leak. It will reveal in your background check, and they have the rights to get back your offer. And reporting is also very regulatory. After 2008 financial crisis, all the regulators worldwide increased the standards on reporting. Like they will ask you to report more frequently on a regulatory basis. And also, you will do a lot of management reports. Let your boss ask you to do an analysis on the recent developments on the products or the clients' relationship management. So you will do a lot of reporting, whatever job you will get. So these are the areas that RPA is very useful and applicable. I think instead of introducing how RPA is applicable in these areas? I think it's a very detailed way to introduce what are the real day-to-day banking job is. So I will go through all of them one by one. So starting from the left-hand side, business validation, account opening. Yeah, account opening, I have just mentioned, if you want to open an account with a bank, like you go to a retail bank on the street, like HSBC, BOC, HK, you are doing an account opening job for yourself. And in secondly, invoice processing. Invoice processing is like you get a receipt and you give the receipt back to the bank. So it is a very heavy manual process. So it is very applicable to use robotics to do invoice processing. Licensing. Licensing, data entry and validation for jurisdictional forms. Licensing, you know, Hong Kong is a very highly standard, has very high standards on regulations. So if you want to sell securities, sell stocks, sell bonds in a bank or in any fintech firm that have these kind of functions, you need to get a license yourself. As a very, also the license, you need to, you know, renew it annually. So it is also a very, you know, regulatory and operational job. So all those very heavy manual labors process are very applicable to use robotics to replace manual labor. So on the second column, process modification. Process modification, you see new functionality, risk model adjustment, governance change, workflow modification. Okay, so those are all very operational procedures. You know, banks are very large. So you banks need to have those kind of operation procedures to make sure all the processes are accurate and concise and regulatory, did not make any mistakes. Like new functionalities, if you have new functionalities, you need to do some revised revision on some operation procedures. If you adjust the risk model, you need to like adjust the data on some baselines. If you have some governance change means like the data system originally belonged to team A, but now it changed the governance to team B. So it has to do some change on the operation procedures. Workflow modification is like you have some new functionality or you have some new members or some new products. You have to set up or write some new operation procedures. So the second column, process modification, are all very heavy process operation procedures oriented. So it is very helpful to use robotics to replace, to do all those changes. The third column, system interaction. Yeah, system interaction. You know, usually for a team in banking, we will have like over 10 and even 20 systems. Each product or each process use a different system. And sometimes the system's owners are in India or in Malaysia in some lower labor region. So it's very complex. If you change any system or you want to interact any systems that are conducted by other teams. So like new account entry, account reconciliation. Reconciliation means you have to check the data with the other system. Like if you have one line of data like in system A and the data also transferred to another system in another system B, you have to do the reconciliation, which is the account reconciliation. Data reconciliation, and like it's the third column, system interaction. You see it's very data and system oriented, and it also like includes a lot of like changes between among teams and also among different geographic locations. It's very heavily manual labor, so it is very useful to use robotics to replace all the human labor. The fourth line, report generation. Yeah, report, like regulatory reporting that are required by HKMA, which is the regulators of Hong Kong, and also like MAS is the regulators of Singapore and all the other, you know, regulators worldwide. Screening alerts. Screening alerts, like I just mentioned, like if you want to go to a large corporate to start your job, they will do all the screening on your CVs to see any, if there are any alerts to like inconsistency on your background check, like the school, internship, time, any alerts. And transaction monitoring. Transaction monitoring means that if you transact a very large amount of money, like if you swap your credit card for a very large amount of money, that is very unusual. So the bank will send the message to your phone to alert you whether it is yourself to and did the transaction by your credit card. So similarly for corporate clients, for private banking clients, we do monitoring on their money transactions to see if there are any misalignments or any money laundry risks. Capital analysis review. Yeah, capital analysis review is like you want to do any asset allocation. You have to, the bank will do the review on all the asset, on all the capital you're with the bank. So last column, rule-based decision. So rule-based decision is like you can do a decision tree. You can draw a decision tree in a very linear way. So it's a very linear and also very simple decision making. So it will be helpful to use robotics like fixed asset accounting, fraud detection, the account client notification, limits management, like or inputs. So next I will list some real examples for robotics analytics in banking. So here is a slide that a very famous management consulting firm did for my previous firm. So they proposed to use robotics for client onboarding. Department compliance, technology, RPA, major pinpoints, high operational costs, time consuming, high operational risk, process complexity, very high. Simple sample process, turnaround time, number of full-time equivalents. Full-time equivalents means manual labor on a daily basis. Cost of onboarding per client means like how large the client's assets are with the bank and how high the risk of the clients. Process, client onboarding process, including due diligence and which requires very large amount of time and personnel for repetitive and low value added tasks. Key benefits, standardized integrated process, up to 96% reduction in informal information retrieval time, better, faster decision making. And on the bottom part of the slide, you can see the step-by-step process mapping of client onboarding. So if you want to do any digital process, project management related job in any industry, you need to know how to do this kind of step-by-step process mapping and also how to present idea in a very neat and tidy, clear way in one page of slides for your clients. So this example is a real case, you know, application for a KYC, Know Your Customer Tracker design implementation that a very large management consulting firm did for my previous firm. So it is the real case that is successfully launched and implemented, you know, concise way to present the deliverables, to present your project results, which you can also show to your future clients or future stakeholders. So first they talk about the client needs. Client needs, end-to-end tracking of the KYC lifestyle. Know your clients. On the left-hand side is a very, you know, very visualized way to show your major project deliverables. You can see it's very, you know, process oriented and has very complex team structure and also multiple systems involved. Approach. I will talk about the digital project management approach in my third section. Client benefits. So you have to quantify your project results in the same way that you write your CV. You have to quantify your internship experiences results, quantify your past, past achievements and also university activities. Okay, next example is machine learning for compliance. Machine learning can also be very helpful in AML anti-money laundry process. So money laundry is a very heavy headache, in Web3, in crypto. That's why government will not, open the full door to all the cryptocurrency exchanges, because it is very easy to do money laundry on cryptocurrency. So as you can see from the picture, any money laundry is also a very complex process, and it has multiple departments, teams, and systems involved. To put it shortly, so it will be a very heavy headache for fintech and also cryptocurrency exchanges or any Web3 firms. And also a lot of fintech firms are doing regulatory technology. RegTech is very hot topic. Actually, they are using all kinds of technologies to reduce AML money laundry risk and also KYC manual labor. And next one is the real case to use predictive analysis for relationship management. Other financial institutions, most of them are client-facing, need to bring clients. So relationship management is very important in finance industry, which means you have to maintain a very good relationship to build up the trust with their clients. So actually, from my past experiences, it's just a number game, which means you have to interact as frequently as you can with your clients. And to build up the relationship and to maintain the relationship and also to enhance the trust with their clients. And banks and all the, not only in finance industry, but also in other industries, if you need to face clients, you have to have a clever way to do your customer relationship management. So there are a lot of applications to use robotics to help you predict whether you have any close relationship or any close contacts that you missed, or you simply just forgot the other client that's at the back of your mind. So it's a very clever way to do customer relationship management. Okay, next section, OCR, optical character recognition. I think it's very, day to day for you guys, right? Because if you use iPhone, you can take a picture of a book page and the picture will automatically detect the words from the picture, and you can just copy the words to your other device or your notebook or your WeChat to just send the words. So I think it's very familiar for day-to-day life as well. So it's very heavily implemented in banking, in finance industry as well, because human does not need to do any manual process, just use OCR and input some robotics and programming languages to just input some words from a picture or a page or a paper to directly input in the online systems or in the database. So OCR together with ICR and barcoding, what can they do? OCR enables conversion of different types of scanned documents into digital files, making them editable and easily searchable. ICR stands for Intelligent Character Recognition. Like OCR, but it also deciphers signatures and recognizes handwritten texts. Because, in Hong Kong, checks are very popular. So Like people will write the checks and it will deposit your money with the bank. So ICR is very useful for checks in banks. Barcode is like the, you know, you see the picture in the middle, right? Barcode is like you go to the supermarket, each product will have a barcode. Then you can do the checkout, right? So how it works? Actually, if you apply for a job in a very large corporate online application website, it uses OCR, ICR. Like you upload your CV, it will automatically extract the words from your CV and to input into the online system in a very smart way. You just need to, you know, check any misalignment and mistakes. So OCR, ICR barcoding is very useful in banking industry and finance, and I think in all the industry as well. OCR plus NLP in trade finance document reading. So this is also a slide that a very large management consulting firm pitched for my previous firm. So they are exploring to automate any trade finance process to enhance efficiency and reduce human manual labor. So on the left hand side, you can see some criteria and solution benchmark to see to analyze which OCR NLP technology providers are more applicable or more cost efficient for the client. So this kind of analysis will be your day-to-day job in finance industry as well. Approach, I will talk about approach in later section in digital product management. Client benefits. So similarly, you have to list out qualitatively and also quantitatively what are the benefits for a client. In the same way that you have to write both qualitatively and quantitatively in your CV. So the third section, digital product management. Digital product management is a very hot trend after, you know, COVID, because people are getting used to working from home, and also people are getting used to use all the mobile apps or online banking portals or any fintech ways to do their asset allocation. So digital projects actually are very hot trend in recent years. No matter like management consulting firms, also very, you know, very suitable for computer science students, because I think computer science students have much more advantages than finance students to do digital project management, because it's more process oriented and it involves a lot of like technology providers and also IT. So in this section, I will introduce how does a digital project management usually work. And this section is so usually they will present a very brief introduction like this page to tell you how they will do this kind of digital project for you. Like they use robotics to replace their one process of manual labor in compliance. So usually there are three phases of this kind of digital projects. First phase is to select which process are suitable to use robotics or use digital ways to replace human labor. Second phase is the implementation part. They will design a target operating model, which is like a test, a trial and error model. And third is scale and sustain, which means they will implement the target operating model, the trial cases for all the process in this department. Focus on our methodology to select the process. So how do they select the process? Firstly, they will understand and scope the process by doing interviews, by face-to-face talk to the professionals, and they will assess the readiness. How do they assess the readiness? Like how simple the process is and how heavy the process is with the human labor and how high the risk of the process to make any mistakes. And then they will assess the readiness, like the, you know, assess readiness is more people-oriented. You know, if you want to work in a very large corporation like banking, You have to manage people. You have to face some conflicts with people and among different teams. And it's also a very heavy job for project management as well. So phase one, high-level assessment. How do they assess it? Which process is applicable to use digital ways, to use robotics to replace human labor? Like the first set high-level objectives with process owners. Process owners, which means which team, which department actually owns the process, actually do the day-to-day job for the process. So they will do interviews with the process owners, which are the day-to-day job, day-to-day process owners, to understand the structure, understand the step-by-step decision-making, and make them explainable to in a very visualized way. And then they will identify the pain points, like the process is very highly time-consuming, very highly likelihood to make risks, to make any mistakes, and it will increase the human labor. And then they will define the segment process, assess the automation suitability. So assess the automation suitability and shortlist the automation initiatives. They were based on the process interview to see whether the process is applicable to use robotics to replace human labor. Phase two is usually detailed process mapping. Detailed process mapping is just like the process mapping, the picture I showed in the previous parts to show the step-by-step process mapping for all the process. And you have to evaluate each process based on the unit processing time, the volumes, and whether it often is frequently doing overtime, and number of operational errors on the average base, number of full-time equivalents, which is the manual labor per day, and other KPIs used by the team, by the process owners. And then they will assess it like usually in Excel to in a very quantitative way to assess each process because it's cost oriented. To replace human manual labor with latest technology is very high cost. So this phase two, detailed process mapping, is actually very cost oriented. We need to do a very detailed process screening to guess estimate to evaluate the time, the investment in each process to do digital management. Phase three is usually the business cases. Like I mentioned, it's usually the target operating model, which is the, you know, the trial cases. So they will prioritize any automation initiatives based on cost reduction, risk mitigation, reallocation of resources, business development. So you see it involved in from top down, like the global, you know, management's decisions, business development in each region, relocation of human manual labor or team resources, and also the like the risk mitigation production of each team. You see, it involves a lot of people and it's a very complicated decision making for any firm to evaluate whether it is suitable, cost efficient to use robotics, to use digital ways to replace manual labor. If you want to complete any manual process or any time-consuming process in the bank next time, so just imagine how large the bank it is and also how high the cost it is to replace manual labor. So the fourth part, I will talk about the obstacles in digital transformation in banks. You know, even though we have a lot of fintech firms nowadays, but they cannot replace banks. They cannot replace banks, I think, in the near 10 years. So why digital transformation has so many obstacles in banks, even though people all know that digital transformation is very beneficial for every one of us? First, let's talk about the general structure, general comprehensive picture here from top-down analysis. You know, since last year, we're going into economic downturn. So costs are headaches. Like I've just mentioned, digital projects usually takes very long time and also very heavy costs. And usually the break-even time is over 2 years. And you cannot just simply replace any process with the robotics because banks have very complex structure. We use multiple systems for even one simple process. And it involves a lot of people. You have to manage the people. You have to manage the conflicts and all the people, all the team involved globally. So it's not a very easy job. Internal deployment and learning costs within the bank, which means you want to have some change, right? We all want to have some change because we know that it will bring us benefits. But why can't you just change? Because you have to learn some process. You have to learn some new steps by yourself. It is a very cost-heavy job. A cost of hardware and software for large-scale deployment. Yeah, you know, hardware and software is not cheap nowadays. Just look at how high the US stocks for some technology firms. So the hardware and software, it is a one-time initial investment for any firm. So in the economic downturn, costs are very, you know, very sensitive topic. And even for very successful digital projects nowadays, it will cost a very large amount of money for the initial investment. Cost of external vendors and supplier solutions. We have some now very nice. So the cost of external vendors is very high. And also banks itself won't have that many human labor, which means employees to do those kind of projects on a day-to-day basis. So almost all the time, they will need to hire some external management consultants. You know how high McKinsey, Bain, BCG's employees' revenue, right? So they are very expensive, very, very expensive, even for a very large firm like HSBC, Citibank. And ongoing support costs, which means you implemented a new system, you implemented a new robotic process, then you have to maintain it, right? So it will have maintenance costs. It is ongoing. So under the big picture of this economic downturn, although we all know that digital transformation, fintech will bring benefits to our daily life in our finance, but you know, costs are very heavy headaches. To put it specifically, on one hand, banks need to catch up with the speed, agility, and flexibility of fintech firms. But on the other hand, banks have to meet the requirements of scalability, security, and regulation for traditional finance services. Financial regulation. You know, regulation is the first heavy headache for all the finance industry players nowadays. Different products with different regions have different regulatory requirements. Like Hong Kong have different regulations with mainland China, with Singapore, and all the banks do cross-border business. So the regulations are even more complicated. Smooth transition. You know, you use human labor to do all the process in the past, but now you use robotics, use digitalized way to do your business nowadays. So you have to make sure the transition is smooth. Otherwise, how about your client's money go away? How do you, you know, tell your clients? It is because you implemented a robotic way, right? Coexistence and transition of the new old and new systems. Like I just mentioned, like bank systems and database are very, very complex and complicated. They use hybrid systems, hybrid clouds, outsourced IT business departments, and other regions. Unknown risk of new technology, like, you know, Web3. You know, Hong Kong is positioning itself to be a Web3 hub, but not many people actually, you know, invest in cryptocurrency, right? Internal resistance, it's mainly deal with, you know, people problem. Like, you have to manage conflicts among different teams. You have to manage different interests with your clients. Lack of talents. Like, I don't know whether you know that banking is actually lacking of sufficient computer science IT talent. But I know that computer science students want to enter internet or technology firms, right? Okay, so that's all for my sharing today. And on the left-hand side, you can see my links to my podcast. 这一集能量报电台到这里就结束了。如果你有什么想法或者评论，请在下面给我留言。如果你觉得聊天内容对你的朋友也有帮助，也请转发语音给你的朋友。你可以在任何音频播客 APP 搜索能量棒就能找到收听并且订阅这个播客。也请你在你用的播客 APP 里给这一期点个赞，也给能量棒电台五星好评。我一直免费创作了这么久呢，现在非常需要你的支持，请加我的微信YUHEXYZ 加入公号读者和播客听友群。我再说一遍，微信是 YUHEXYZ。 欢迎你开心放松地找我聊天咨询，我们下一期能量棒电台再一起充电。